This is mythical.
You hear that? Your dog knows spring is coming sooner than you think. Dog walks, dog parks, playing fetch, all the stuff your dog loves to do with you. But the warmer weather also means that fleas and ticks are coming back. Fleas and ticks are in the grass, in the woods, and even on their dog friends. Fleas are an itchy nuisance, can easily get into your home, furniture, and beds, which can be terrible. Ticks are even worse. They're hard to spot, but can carry disease and get your dog really sick. PetMeds has your furry friend protected with the best products to prevent flea and ticks all year long. PetMeds pharmacists connect directly with your vet to save you time and deliver the best products for your pet. PetMeds offers low prices on all flea and tick meds, including NexGard, Simparica, and more. And PetMeds AutoShip helps you save even more with additional discounts on regular shipments of PetMeds, dog food, and other high-quality supplies. So get ready for all the spring fun now. Visit PetMeds.com and use promo code PODCAST to save 40% on your first auto ship order. That's PetMeds.com and promo code PODCAST.
Hi, everybody.
Hello.
Welcome to Best Friends Back, All Right!
The show where two high school best friends try the best friend thing again.
I'm Stevie Wynn Levine.
And I'm Nagin Homaifad.
And today, we are live at
Mythicon! Woo!
You guys having fun?
You guys.
You look like you're having fun. This is awesome.
Has everyone had lunch? A mix, so we have some hangry people here.
You're just checking in.
Yeah, just making sure we have, like, people ready for it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, my nerves are a little bit better seeing y'all here.
I know, the fact that people are in here is nice.
You know what's weird is that there's never this many people at the recording studio.
No, it's usually...
In fact, you're not at the recording studio with me usually.
I'm not. It's nice because usually I have to worry about my dog barking because I record from home. So today, there's nothing I have to, like, tether to my seat.
That's a silver lining.
Besides
me. So today, to calm our nerves, we thought that we'd ask y'all Mythical Beasts for some of your most embarrassing stories. So if we could hear your embarrassing stories, we wouldn't be so embarrassed being up here.
And boy, did you deliver.
Yeah. And I haven't heard any of these yet. So Nagin's gone through. She's picked the ones that she's curated today. And the objective is there's going to be a most embarrassing story. But the silver lining to that is that that person's going to win a golden ticket over to the store. So they will get something for
proof.
Their embarrassment.
Yes.
How has it been so far for you?
Oh, it's been so fun. I met, shout out to Anna and Michael, who I met on the plane coming here.
Yeah.
You
sat next to?
Hey,
look at that. Hello.
Anna was wearing her Rhett and Link sweater on the plane.
Yeah.
She was doing the whole vibe before. So
nice.
It's been fun.
There have been plenty of
opportunities for embarrassing moments while here.
Oh, I told the Lyft driver, he said, have a good trip. I said, you too. Ugh. Damn it, I've already started. So I feel like that really kicked things off for me. Okay, we also have our most embarrassing stories. And mine, I have never told before, I don't think. It's like the type of embarrassing story that you like get that feeling in the pit of your stomach still. It's really embarrassing. I don't even know if it's entertaining or funny. It's just embarrassing.
We're gonna cheer for it no matter what. But let's start
We can't win this.
No.
Okay.
We can't win. Because I feel like we've signed up to say stuff about ourselves. This is a list of people who are brave enough to like not even defend themselves. We're just gonna talk about you and your embarrassing story.
Cool.
Should we start?
Let's do it. Yeah.
Okay. This first one is from Abby Webb. Abby, are you here? All right, we were going to be talking about you.
No one's raised their hand.
Abby, she says, in the lunch line in sixth grade, my crush was teasing me and flipped me the bird. I shouted, stop fingering me! Because I couldn't think of the flip the bird term. and the entire cafeteria, including the lunch lady, all gasped. And it is still the most embarrassing moment of my life, like 20 years later.
When the lunch lady gasps, that's when you know it's bad.
Stop fingering me.
You want to one more time?
Stop all together now. I'm just kidding.
Wow. That's
got to
be a first. That has got to be a first. Okay.
So I thought Abby, I mean, that was a nice start.
Okay, yeah.
I felt like there was a theme with a lot of these stories.
Is it going to be fingering?
No. No, it was like people going back to childhood.
Okay,
right?
So
and like
here's,
harboring that story.
Here's the thing. My embarrassing story is from college. Okay. And so I still like, but before college, I don't get that bad feeling. Like I get the, oh, that was a different me feeling.
Okay. Yes.
But I guess if I yelled, stop fingering me, maybe I would feel different.
Well, in Abby's case, she said that her childhood friends still bring it up.
Oh, yeah.
So it seems like the shame is just reinforced.
Yeah.
Makes it hard.
I was going to say fingering Abby, but I did just say it.
You did.
I did. The podcast is edited.
The lunchroom, I felt like, was a place that was like always, there was always something embarrassing happening. Like
yeah.
You had to figure out where you were going to sit. If there were going to be enough seats there,
yeah.
Like, would you have shit in your teeth? And now that.
I should hope not.
All right, you ready for the next one?
Yes.
Woo! Okay, this next one
what
is...
What if I was like, that stepped on my story, I also yelled, stop fingering me, and that's what I was going to say.
Then you might get the prize.
Yeah.
All right, Carrington, are you here?
Oh!
Yes! Yes! Okay, Carrington, this is a fantastic story. Thank you in advance. All right, tuck in, guys. It's a little bit long. Carrington shared a lot of detail. All right. During the summer of 2018, my boyfriend, Patrick, and I... Is he here? Okay. Huh? He's sick. Oh, he's an ex-boyfriend. Okay. My boyfriend, Patrick, and I were preparing to move into a new apartment together and decided it was time to downsize. All right. We sorted through all of our things and determined which ones to donate, trash, or sell on Facebook Marketplace. Just a few random items, including a flat-screen TV that my Grammy gave to me. I woke up
You're
on Monday...
You're, like, emphasizing things, I think, in the future that are going to come into play? Or did you want me to, like, feel sexually about the flat-screen TV?
Oh, I thought you were going to say grandma. No, I often put the emphasis on the wrong...
Flat screen TV.
on the wrong word.
Okay.
Just mixing it up. Okay.
All right.
So she wakes up Monday morning and she goes... I'm going to speak in Carrington's voice. I woke up on Monday morning and went straight into the living room to snap a picture. I published the listing on Marketplace just before leaving for school and threw my phone in my backpack. After a long day at school, I fished my phone out of the bag and found over 70 Facebook notifications.
No. Oh, no. I think I know.
Oh, great, I thought. My listings must have gotten a ton of hits.
Now I know why you said flat screen TV.
I plopped down on the couch with my laptop, mentally preparing myself to haggle. I do the same thing. I love it. To my surprise, every single message was about our TV. I clicked on the first message and found a kind stranger imploring me to take a second look at the listing. Do you guys have an idea? Oh, yeah. I clicked on it. Confused, I opened the listing and surveyed every detail meticulously, trying to find the error he insisted I had made. After 3 minutes of staring at the same image of my TV, the horror began to unfold. That morning, when I jumped out of bed to snap those pictures, I had neglected to put any clothing on.
Yep,
that's right. Staring back
like
at me.
I like the efficiency, though. Like, we gotta take those photos and there's no time for clothes.
But not efficiency with the story. I feel like... Staring back at me in the reflection of my Gram's TV were my genitals, clear as day.
Clear as day.
I scroll through tons
of kind LED.
Scroll through tons of kind people trying to warn me of my mistake. A few creeps that had asked if the beaver was included. Block. Every now and
leave
again.
Leave it to beaver.
I feel like you get those requests too.
Yeah.
Oh, every now and again, I think about the email. I think about the small corner of the internet that witnessed my lady bits and all of their unkempt glory.
Yes.
Oh, round of applause. Yeah. Oh my God.
So, stop fingering me. I love
so
that
much
story.
In there. So much. I mean, the first thing that came out to me was how you sleep at night, like what you wear.
Mm.
I am always wearing pajamas. I've never been this person to like go to
I'm
sleep
not
naked.
Either. Yeah. I don't know. I need some coverage. Because then you just don't know where things are going to go.
Yes.
You know.
Yes. Yes. Do you like, yeah, got to have a top and bottom.
Oh, you're going to. Yeah, you do.
Okay. Have you ever tried to sell anything on Facebook Marketplace?
I think, no, Craigslist.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I think no. Why? Is it a different experience than just like a Craigslist situation? More tits on Facebook, hey?
No. I think Craigslist is weirder. Oh. I love buying and selling things on Facebook Marketplace.
Okay.
I think it's a great experience, but you get a lot of people that will ask you questions to things that you have stated in, right? I see you nodding right here. You know, what are you saying? She does it a lot. What kind of stuff do you sell?
Everything.
Oh, yes. Yes. Yeah. And sell it.
Nice.
Okay. She sells furniture. If anybody's
can
looking
we
for
plug?
Furniture.
Is this something we can plug? Is this like, I don't know
how
it works.
Yeah, what's your handle?
South Jersey Facebook.
If any South Jersey fans in here.
Yeah.
Furniture Depot right
Not
here.
Not a sponsor.
Man. Okay, well, for this one, Carrington, you're here. I feel like you deserve a... you need to stand, and we need to give you a round of applause. Woo!
That was good.
Wonderful. Okay, Dave. No last name, Dave. Are you here? Dave, any Daves? And you can raise your hand if you're not a Dave, but would like to pretend you're a Dave. There, wow!
Oh, so many Daves!
So many Daves.
Okay.
Okay, so Dave, oh, I love this. Okay, I was rehired at a job after 6 years. And most people...
I'm sorry, you said rehire?
Yeah.
Okay.
You want to know on what merits?
Oh, no, I just didn't hear you.
Oh, yeah. Okay. I was rehired at a job after 6 years. And most people still there remembered me and were happy to see me back.
Okay.
All right. Friday rolls around and someone goes, Dave, come by the break room! !
Mm-hmm.
I wander in and there's this cake at the end of the table and everyone is standing there. So I say, you guys, and blow up the candle. Wait for it. Not noticing it said, happy birthday, Julie. Now I know why Dave didn't raise his hand. I just feel like, how awkward is that?
We don't know if Julie was there.
We don't know if Julie was there. But to blow out a cake.
Yeah. But I in my mind, Julie was like over his shoulder, like overly attached girlfriend. And was like, it's my cake!
Not for you!
No, Dave!
Not for you!
Okay, yeah. You can't take that back.
You can't take that back.
I mean, I guess you could relight if they weren't trick candles.
I know, but it's like you're coming back after... It's already a little bit...
Yeah.
You're nervous. You're coming back to this place where everybody else has stayed.
Sure. And of course, 6 years prior, he had also blown out Julie's cake. So he didn't
Which
learn.
Which is why I'm inspired, yeah.
Okay.
Man.
Sorry, Dave.
Dave. Okay. Are you gaining some confidence to tell your own story?
I am, but I'm doing some ranking, I was going to say in my mind, but clearly I'm organizing these, so physically as well.
Allie Nagy. Oh, wait, I do love that people submitted and were like, I'm fucking not coming to that.
Yeah.
I get it.
Bold choice.
Okay. My boyfriend, now fiance, and I had been dating for a couple of months when this thing happened about 8 years ago. We were in high school, and I was still in the stage of being nervous and getting embarrassed about little things. So one day, we were hanging out at his house, and all of a sudden, I had to pee really, really bad. But at the time, I absolutely did not want him to hear me peeing. I feel like I've heard this, okay? You're embarrassed to be, like, pooping or peeing in front of somebody you love.
Well, those are two different things.
But if you have a heavy stream, it's like you just don't want
to
be heard.
Is that something to be embarrassed? I didn't know. Should I be conscious of how heavy my stream is?
Should she? That's right. You should pee here right on stage. Woo! Did you hear that? They peed on the show?
Not me.
No, Rhett and Link peed on the show.
Oh, sure, yeah.
It's also so much easier for a guy to, like, to do that.
Well,
you know?
There were various different things that
contraptions.
We used. And I think at one point, one of them had to put a blanket over their head at some point. Yeah.
Okay, all right. Okay, well, Allie was not at that stage in her relationship
okay,
with
sorry,
her boyfriend.
Okay, sorry, back to Allie.
She didn't want him to
her
hear.
Her stream is questionable.
Yeah, she's got a heavy stream. So I told him it was time for him to take me home and to drive her back to the house. So the whole car ride home, I'm fidgeting and trying to hold it in, and I told them that we need to stop on the side of the road so I can pee. He thought I was kidding and laughed. I giggled and kept holding it in by sitting on my foot.
Okay, this is less embarrassing than the velocity of her pee stream that she was previously worried about.
No, I understand. Sitting on your foot, I've done it, right? Okay, eventually, there were about 3 minutes left in the ride, and I couldn't hold it anymore, and I peed myself. Not only did my pants and shoe get wet,
no.
So did his seat. I didn't say anything about it and hurried out of the car, and he never even knew about it. Suspicious. I ended up telling him a few years ago, and he thought it was hilarious. But man, what a ride. Mm. You know what? I feel like, she doesn't say her fiancé's name, but I feel like he is a gentleman. He definitely saw
it. Really
good
actor. A really good actor.
Have you ever peed your pants?
I don't think I have. I don't think I peed my... I've been next to multiple people who have peed their pants.
Really?
Yeah.
Care to share?
Oh, just like for because they were laughing so hard. Because I'm so funny.
guys. It would have been funnier if nobody laughed.
Okay. Peeing the foot, peeing the car seat. Got it.
Peeing the car seat, so it's all slick. I mean, I'm wondering,
slick.
Does he have
a leather seat?
Maybe if it was cloth seats, he didn't notice.
Why? It would leave like a stain mark.
High school.
As well!
But
yeah.
It's a high school boyfriend. His car probably smelled already.
True. Good
right?
point.
Right?
Good point.
Raise your hand if you a high school boy with a stinky car. Yes! Thank you.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You wanna share? Oh,
are you prompting me for my story?
Well, I'm curious.
It has nothing to do with the stinky car. Should I share? Oh my
God. Yes!
Okay. So, well, the first embarrassing part of the story was, you know, like when you go on a college tour and there's the tour guides that are students?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was one of those. That's the first part of the embarrassing story.
Oh, you were the tour guide.
Yeah. And they walk backwards and they're like very proud of everything.
Yeah. Yes.
Yeah.
Can I just stop you 1 second?
Please.
Because I want to stretch out this embarrassment. I'm really surprised. I didn't know you were a tour guide at your school, because I always get the vibe that you were like, fuck college.
Yeah.
I like my friends. So what made you decide to be a tour guide?
Well, like our part of the school was cool. I think I was only a tour guide for the new house, which is part of Syracuse where
she's like, just kidding, I love Syracuse.
Yeah, Syracuse is great. No, it's just cold. And so I'm giving
the
this
new house
tour.
Yeah.
And you know, it's like prospective students and their families.
Mm-hmm.
Oh my God, this is so, I don't even understand. And we're about to go into one of the sound stages, and one of the dads held open the door.
Yeah.
But the way that he held open the door, like he put his back against the door, and then he opened his arms like this. And I was like, okay, I mean, a little weird, but I will give you a hug. And I gave this man a hug! And then he goes, my wife and kid are here, and I'm like, sir.
Oh my God.
This is embarrassing enough for me, sir.
He's
we
like,
don't need to continue this banter. And next time you open a door, don't open your arms. Oh, it was so embarrassing.
So embarrassing.
Thank you.
So, like, how much of the tour was left?
I can't remember anything after that. It just, like, your mind just is just like, yeah, I blacked out. It was just like, please get me out of here.
Man.
I backed out the other way.
Do you remember any fun facts from that? From that tour?
From the tour?
Yeah.
Absolutely not. No. I don't have any memories
Nothing
of anything
fun.
Else.
Nothing fun.
Nothing to add to this conversation beyond that. Hey, it was enough that I told that story because it was the first time that apparently it was really embarrassing. So thank you for confirming that for me.
Okay. Allison R. Cool.
Yeah.
Cool.
No one was.
Y'all, I chose you guys because you're in the office.
Yeah.
Yeah. Is it you?
You're not. No. Okay. She's like, no.
Okay. Allison R. On Valentine's Day, my ex and I got a bit drunk. He got up to go to the bathroom, and I decided to hide behind the fridge that was next to the bathroom door. He came out, and I jumped out yelling, boo! He karate chopped down on my nose so hard it knocked me to the ground, and I instantly started bleeding. He was 240 pounds and I was 110 pounds.
Oh my God.
I became nauseous and felt as if I needed to throw up, and he gave me a mixing bowl and offered to take me to the hospital since we were drunk.
He gave you a mixing bowl?
To blood in and puke in. This story spoke to me personally because we recently talked about things we're scared of.
Yeah.
And I told you I was afraid of being
afraid. Yesterday we talked about that.
Yeah. And one of my fears is being like,
jump scared.
Jump scared. Like, I hate it. I used to love doing it as a kid, but I don't like receiving it.
Yeah.
And this is why.
So
you can get punched in the nose.
In this story,
who would be the more embarrassed person? Because, right? Like, I would be embarrassed if I karate chopped someone in the face.
Okay.
Not if I got chopped in the
face.
Okay,
just for the...
Is that what they say? Chopped?
How do you say you've been chopped in the face?
I've been chopped! I've been chopped in the face!
Also, it's really funny that his instinct was to chop and not to, like, punch or to push. Like, that says something about
a person. I don't
think
I even have any kind of physical defense mechanism, like, things that would come out.
I think I would run the other direction
rather
than go forward.
Okay, yeah. You're right.
I'm a flight person, not a fight.
Yeah.
Man. Okay. Clint Hill. Obviously, Clint is not in here.
All right.
Clint Hill. Clint says, I work in a high school as an English teacher, which I loved. I'm like, this is now. This is today. You're a professional. I was in the office before school. Lots of other teachers, administrators, and secretaries are milling about, chatting with parents, students, and the swim coach about how impressive I found everyone at the latest swim meet. When asked if I was a swimmer, I loudly responded, "No, I only do doggy style."
Wow. Yeah. Hell yeah.
When I realized what I said, I melted into a puddle. I'm now a permanent stain on the carpet.
And then I doggy paddled right out of it.
Damn.
Okay, we've got two screaming of sexual phrases.
Yes.
Stop fingering me. You don't need to read that again, right?
Okay, all right.
Wait, and what was his, what was exact? Oh, I only do doggy style. Okay, can we get a round of I only do doggy style? 3, 2, 1. I only do doggy style.
Yeah. That's how,
I'm a little barking.
So I, like Clint, only doggy paddle.
Okay.
I'm not a good swimmer. I'm not a good swimmer. Are you a good swimmer?
I do the breaststroke.
I want to know how many times you've said that, because that was so fast, so furious. Are you a good swimmer, though, for real?
I get around.
Okay. I'm going to tell my story. Okay, so when I was 12 years old, 12 or 13, we were visiting family in Virginia, and I went to the bathroom on the main floor where everybody was hanging out. There's like a little, powder room. It was so tiny.
Mm-hmm.
Go in, and I look at my underwear, and I'm like, oh, fuck. I somehow shat my pants.
Mm. Mm-hmm.
So everybody is outside. And I'm like, what am I going to do? I can't even call for my mom because everybody is there. And so I like kind of try to clean up. And I go find another pair of underwear, back to business. I go to the bathroom.
What do you mean? Can you elaborate on?
We were hanging out. We were staying there for the weekend. So I went back to my bag.
Okay. Got it.
I got rid of that underwear. I like wrapped it up into a tissue and put it into the bottom of their trash can.
Great.
Yep.
Good plan.
Then a few hours later, I go back to the bathroom and I'm like, what the fuck? I shat my pants again. I don't remember it coming out. Like, you know, you like just... You would feel it.
Can we get a I shat my pants again? 3, 2, 1. I shat my pants again. Yes.
Okay. So there goes another pair of underwear.
Yeah. Now, were these like labeled with the days of the week?
They must have been.
You're like, damn it, it's not Tuesday. Not Wednesday either.
I hated actually wearing them on the wrong day, but sometimes the laundry wasn't done. I was
that's
like,
a type
fucking
A,
mom.
Yeah, that's a type A situation. Okay.
Okay, so I'm running out of underwear.
Yeah.
Then we go again, or I go again, and yet again, I've shat my pants again. Okay? And then I'm just like, I have nothing left. Now I go into my mom's underwear, right? And I put it on.
And at this point, you haven't said anything to anyone.
No, I have so much shame. Okay. Because I'm like, God, shitting my pants. I'm like I'm a grown-ass woman. I'm 12 years old.
Yeah.
Right? That's what I was wondering. 12 years old, shitting my pants. And so I was just really embarrassed. And there were so many people around, and I was concerned.
I want to know what age you thought she was for this story. It's like this little three-year-old was like, ah! Again?
Again.
Again, where's my other underwear?
I love that I was like a country southern girl as a three-year-old.
Nadine.
And so I go to the bathroom again, and this time I've become a little bit sensitized to the fact that, like, every time I go to the bathroom, it's going to be something. This time I pull down my underwear, and I'm like, oh, it's red.
Okay.
I had my period, guys.
Yeah.
And for those of you who don't know, sometimes the period is brown. Now, look at these girls. They're like, yes, yes, yes. And I found out that I had my period. And then that I was like extra ashamed then because I was like, this is
yeah,
gross.
What is it about that?
Why are we so embarrassed to have our periods?
Know. Okay, is this celebratory?
And so, you know, I thought...
Oh, there's more here, too. Why am I ignoring the tampons in the mug? There's more... I'm like, this down here that no one can see? Oh.
I thought, you know, we've been spending time around each other. Maybe our cycles are synced at this point. And maybe somebody needs a tampon.
Who needs a tampon? Yeah! Oh, wow. Yes. I've never thrown a tampon before. Yes.
Oh, and don't you worry. For those ladies who don't want to wear a tampon but want to wear a pad.
Look at the spiral I'm getting on this thing.
Stevie has signed all of these tampons. She has it.
For those listening, we're throwing tampons into the audience right now.
God, you know, I want to say a special thank you to the men in the audience who pointed to their partners and were like, she needs a tampon. I saw you.
She needs one.
She needs one.
Okay, well, thank you for sharing in multiple ways. I really think that there's a clear winner here.
Okay. Okay, we have...
You want to recap. Okay.
Okay, here are the different ones. There's the one where, Allie pees her pants in front of her boyfriend.
No.
Fuck Allie.
Carrington and the flat screen TV. I mean, need we go further?
Just so Carrington can feel good when she wins.
Okay.
Allison got punched in the face by her boyfriend.
Chopped
in her... Chop. Okay. Dave blowing out the wrong candles.
Yeah, Julie's candles.
Oh, Abby getting fingered in the cafeteria.
Runner-up. Special shout-out.
Okay. We can, as a whatever.
Yeah. Stop fingering.
And then we've got Clint doing doggy style.
Yeah, that's good. Oh. Yeah. We got
I think
some.
We found Clint.
But are people applauding for doggy style? I think maybe that's what's happening.
Okay. Applauding for doggy style?
No.
What do you mean?
Just like doing it doggy. Just like the act of it.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
So can we congratulate our winner here?
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. Carrington?
Yes!
You
Come
are!
Come on up!
Woo! Yes! Wait, Carrington, they want to know how much did you sell the TV for?
I sold it for $90.
Woo!
Moral of the story, guys, leak your own nudes.
Oh!
All right, guys. Well, thanks for listening to this week's episode of Best Friends Back. All right.
Woo!
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, we are back in studio after our very first live recording.
That was so fun.
It was so fun. It's been a few days where we are right now, to just to give you the full production scope. We're recording a few days after we've returned.
We will
from Mythicon.
Always be truthful with you. Yeah.
Well, I was listening to last week's episode and I realized that the timing of Mythicon, and because we recorded it before Mythicon, I don't know, time works in a weird way.
All you need to know is that every Friday you get a new episode.
There you go. There
and
you
we
go.
Will be there.
Yeah, we wanted to unpack Mythicon for a second because we haven't gotten a chance to.
No, we haven't. And I've got my Michelle Obama perfume on and I feel fucking powerful.
Oh, I thought that was a reference to The Weeknd.
I'm just prepped for it. I was very excited to unpack with you. So I was like, what can I do to make myself feel like ready and excited? My aunt just gave me this Creed perfume that apparently Michelle Obama wears.
I was going to ask, is it her perfume or the perfume that she wears?
Oh, no, it's not Michelle Obama's perfume that I stole.
That was not one of my two questions.
Is it my aunt's perfume?
No. Is it a perfume that Michelle Obama sells as like, this is Michelle Obama's perfume?
Michelle Obama doesn't sell perfume.
I don't
she
know.
She is above that.
Listen.
She makes all watches.
There's a Gwyneth Paltrow vibe that could emanate soon, you know? Oh, is that offensive?
That's offensive.
I'm sorry.
Michelle Obama's not going to start selling like vagina crystals.
Okay. Don't knock it until you try it.
Anyway, I'm feeling good. And I want to admit that this was the first mythical like event that I've been to outside of when we've been in the studio a couple of times.
Yeah.
I was nervous. I was really nervous. I was like, I don't know. All of you guys obviously know each other really well, work with each other every day, and are silly with each other. And like, you know, I was like, oh my God, I don't know how I'm going to fit in. I don't know. Like, do I ride the bus with you guys? Like, meet you there?
Yeah, because for those listening, I mean, some of you know what kind of a little bit of behind the scenes of Mythicon, but this was an event, a one-of-a-kind event that we have not done before that took 13 months to plan, and we had about 50 Mythical crew members that made their way down to Mythicon for various different reasons. So Logan was running the big tent, which all of our podcasts were in. We had members of our art department down there trying to make everything look good. We had remote people that did all of the design and everything. But then we had
You know, the VR experience. One of our crew members made the entire thing and ran it down there.
That was really cool.
And, you know, and then various different people to shoot the live stream show and the big tent. Everything was documented in some kind of way. The Society House, all that programming was done by the director of the Society. And the merch was all that was our crew that did all
there
that.
Was so, like, there was a museum.
Yeah.
There was a mythical museum. I mean, and as somebody who is not like a mythical, is not part of the mythical fandom, this was a beautiful education into what is mythical. And it was so freaking cool. I mean, for me, it was the level of detail. Yeah. That really stood out. And it took me, it kind of, I felt like expedited my like mythical understanding.
Yeah.
Like, oh, this is why people are so obsessed with you guys. They're obsessed with you guys because it's so specific.
Yeah.
Right? There's nothing general about what you guys do. Yet you somehow attract fans from a very broad spectrum.
Yeah.
Right?
I really appreciated having your perspective there because, you know, back to the behind the scenes, you mentioned, like, do I get on the bus with you guys? Like, there were shuttles for attendees at Mythicon, but then also we had to have crew shuttles back and forth from the hotel we were staying at because the crew was constantly working at different hours to make everything happen. So there, you know, that's what you mean is, like, we had additional talent come in like yourself, and then we had the crew members that were working on things. And so you just didn't know, like, am I going to hang out with the crew? Am I going to, you know, where am I going to fit into all that?
Yeah.
And then even down to, you know, we obviously worked with a third party production company that did a lot of the physical production. And on Thursday, we left the ranch and everything felt great. And on Friday, we came into the ranch around noon. And there were a bunch of things that had yet to be done. So the entire
mythical.
Rained
the night before, too.
Yeah. So the entire mythical crew literally circled up and everyone did a task that fell outside of their expertise. And of course, Nagin's over there like lifting hay bales and things of liquid death and like getting dirty. And that was greatly appreciated.
I was not going to have anyone call my arms grandma. But then
you getting to hang out with the mythical crew and see how everyone operates from a different perspective was really, really nice.
Obviously, this is something that you guys had been, like you said, thinking about and working on for 18, you said, or 13 months?
13 months, yeah.
Was what your original conception of Mythicon, how much did it change?
Yeah.
From like that idea to what it was.
You
in
know,
reality.
Not a lot. At points it was more difficult than others to fight for the things that we really wanted to have, because of course, as you're moving through production, different things pop up like, oh, that's, we can't get a permit for this particular thing in this particular way.
What's an example of something that was like
the tattoos?
Had to fight for?
The tattoos. Mm.
Guys, there was a tattoo parlor and it was the most popular.
Yeah. That line mm-hmm. was people wanted in that line before any other line, which is interesting. I mean, the tattoos were awesome.
And this was a tattoo parlor to get mythical tattoos on their body.
Yeah, so we worked with a tattoo artist to design some, I guess they're called flash tattoos, that hit on different things that we had in mind. And Chase, that was one of the things that he produced, so he was heavily involved there.
Oh, I didn't know that. Okay.
Yeah, originally the conceit was to get three different tattoo artists in. And so we were talking to companies to just come in and take over and bring their artists and kind of even switch them out so that, you know, all hands were on deck. And then we learned about some permitting hoopla for tattooing in Bee Cave.
Oh, in that town specifically.
Yep. And then had to go through some loopholes of, okay, well, we can't have a company. We can only have individual artists. And if we have individual artists, et cetera. And so I won't get into any more details than that, other than the fact that, like, it was the thing that I was like, there's no There's no tattoos. There's only tattoos. So what are the loopholes to figure out in order to get this to happen? And I'm so glad that we did, because obviously it was such a big draw.
It was such a hit.
Yeah. And then there were things that we didn't like fully anticipate being, you know, such huge things. Like, obviously, we designed an entire merch line that turned out wonderfully, but had no idea that was going to be, you know, as rushed as it was. Not rushed in terms of production, rushed in terms of amount of people trying to get it. But anyway, you know, the back to your point about the details, like, even, you know, take the Society House, for instance. We knew that, like, we wanted that to be a place for VIPs, but then we knew we wanted programming within the Society House to run at different times, and, like, happy hours and mimosa and all these things. So, like, again, that became another really popular place for people to go to hang out.
Right.
But I think that, like, beyond the Mythical Crew being amazing, which, again, I'm always reminded when we work with others or when we work outside of the studio just how amazing our team is. It really is unparalleled. And I'm glad that you got to experience that.
Yeah. I mean, or it's paralleled with me.
Yeah. Sorry. is the Mythical Beasts themselves. Like, we have not had.
Oh, my gosh.
This was the highest concentration of arguably super fans in one place at one time. And, you know, I think I told you that, like, we were in an hour-long security briefing before the whole thing, and I just was like, there's no way that our fans are going to get violent with you. Like, I know them. I know that that's not, like, a possibility. No one's going to come in here and, you know, we have plenty of liquid death for everyone. Like, I'm not worried about any of those things.
Yeah.
But even, like, at the Super Mega Beast brunch that we had on Sunday, where it was 150 Mythical Beasts having brunch with Rhett and Link and the Mythical Crew, I didn't fully realize, but it makes sense that people were seated at tables with other people that they didn't know.
Yeah.
And as I was going through to table to table, it was astounding to me how quickly people became friends, as if they'd been friends for a very long time, just purely based on being, you know, Mythical Beasts.
Yeah, such a shared experience, and, like, traveling for some people, like, from other countries.
Yeah, yeah.
By themselves, just to come to the, not, I shouldn't say just to come to this, but
quite a few people by themselves that found friends in Discord and in real life when they got there, just the most welcoming people, just so nice and kind, and, like, coming from a place of, you know, we always say, you know, always curious or curiosity and mythicality. Mm-hmm. And, like, just everyone attending kind of embodied all of that. And it was just overwhelming to experience that.
I had a lot of fun. I mean, we had one event together. I had one formal event there, but, like, I was obviously going to every tent I could.
Yes.
And I
was not. I was confined in a cage.
Yeah. She couldn't. Everywhere Stevie went, she was stopped, basically, for photos and chats. Mm-hmm. But I got to be a little discreet and go around. And it was really fun for me to watch people watch you guys. So one of my favorite events to watch was the eating contest, which was just freaking hilarious. It was a mix of crew members and audience members who had won a lottery, I think, to come on stage.
Had submitted to participate. Yeah.
And had ate baby food at a rapid pace. And everyone was entertaining, and it didn't matter if you were the professional on stage or the fan. Like, everyone was really funny. Everyone was there to have a great time. And then the people in the audience, they were there to enjoy themselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's like just a friendly crowd. So I felt like it had been a long time since I had been in a crowd like that before.
Yeah, definitely.
And seeing so much positive energy, like, pushed at the stage reminded me, honestly, of my wedding, which I was like, that's the only other time in life when everybody's excited to be somewhere. Well, okay, I should not say excited to be somewhere, because we just talked about some weddings not being that way. But everyone is pushing positive energy to the people that are in the spotlight.
You know, you always bring it back around to a wedding, you know, at the end of the day.
I don't know if I told you about my wedding, but it was so fun. And Charles.
Yeah.
Charles. Oh, my God. Can we please talk about Charles and Nancy?
Please. I mean, it's funny because I've been working with the guys for 10 years now. I've met Charles several times, but that was not recalled. And at multiple times, he thought that I was Logan, which is like,
Logan, didn't he call you Stevie? He's like, isn't she the lesbian?
Did he say that?
No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
They're both lesbians. I don't know. No, but yeah, tell your interaction with Charles.
I was very excited to meet Charles because I listened to Dispatches. Zach listens to Dispatches. And it's just, for anybody who hasn't heard the show before, it's Link and his dad just chatting. And it's raunchy wholesomeness, right? Mm-hmm. That's it encapsulated. And he was maybe the most popular person ahead of Rhett and Link at Mythicon.
Yeah, and rightfully so.
70 something?
Sure. He's in his 70s.
TBD. He's in his 70s.
TBD.
Great tan. I was impressed by that Myrtle Beach tan he had on him.
Oh.
Handsome man. So sweet. And talking to him really brought me back to North Carolina.
Yeah.
I was like, this reminded me of just talking to the whatever. North Carolina man I talked to. And he was very good natured. He also, Logan introduced me to him. She was like, you've said her name. You've tried to say her name a few times on the show when he's promoting our podcast. And he was like, I tried to say
Negan.
He got a little Negan. And at one point, called me Nadine to a crowd of people. So, you know.
Yeah.
He talked about that mistake.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Nadine. But he was also just like having the time of his life.
Oh, yeah. I think he loves the energy from the Mythical Beast.
Yes.
Also, what I pointed out during Link's DJ set was his phone belt clip. I've never seen one for the iPhone or whatever kind of smartphone he has. It is quite large, and it just fits right on the belt.
Well, it's got to fit the case, the iPhone
case
as well.
I was very impressed by that. Like that
holster. Did I tell you that I saw some Mythical BFBA fans outside of the brunch when I was leaving? It was a couple of guys. And
they were up to no good.
Asked them. I was like, so why do you listen to us? Because I feel like I've been surprised to hear that so many guys listen to us. Mm-hmm. And the answer wasn't so revelatory, but I felt like one of them was like the comedy.
Yeah.
And then the other one said the friendship.
The boobs. Okay.
Friendship. Yeah. And we haven't talked about this yet, but how do you think this Mythicon event was for our friendship?
You're using a lot of finger right now. No, I said when you were leaving the brunch, I was like, I was beyond a... So the truth is like, obviously performer Stevie is like a 15% of my time. And then, the majority of the time I'm, running the company. And so my Mythicon experience was like, extreme anxiety up until doors, not because of our performance or the main stage performance or the meet and greet or anything like that, just because I wanted everything to be so perfect for all the Mythical Beasts coming to experience it. And that's why I said, like, it was so nice having you there as a reminder kind of from the outside of how cool everything is, because I think I oftentimes get swept up in, and this is something that I think Rhett and Link talked about in the Book of Mythicality. Like, I never celebrate anything that we do. There's a moment where I go, wow, that was really cool. But then we're immediately talking about what could have gone better, what we're doing next time.
Yes.
And so still, as we're recording this, I haven't had – we were supposed to have Monday off, which it just never happens. I'm just, like, tired, and I haven't had a moment yet to, like, really appreciate
process
everything.
It, yeah.
But, you know, as you were leaving the brunch, like, I think I mentioned to you, like, it was extremely helpful for me to have you there just as a, again, as a reminder of how cool it is to, one, be able to produce an event that, as you said, had so many awesome details. But I think more than that, because it is my day-to-day and because it's truthfully what I want to focus on more than anything else is, like, the Mythical Crew being as awesome as it is.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I think even you coming in and saying, oh, who was so-and-so that was over there? You know, they were really, really great at what they were doing. And me being able to say, oh, that was this crew member who started with us.
Her name is Logan.
That was Logan. That was Nadine.
That was Nadine.
No, but truthfully, yes. So, like, in terms of our relationship, I, you know, I think that, like, it was so comforting and positive to have you there by my side. Like, it really made the whole experience so much better for me. And yeah, I mean, even, you know, you said on the first day, you were like, it's just, I haven't been a part of a team in a really long time.
Yeah.
So being a part of a team.
It took me back to my Minerva days.
Yeah.
It is really special to work with people who perform at a really high level, have high expectations, and deliver on them.
Yeah.
It's a very unique kind of overlap of expectation and quality and talent. And you guys totally have it. And so it was just so nice to see that again, because now I'm doing my own thing, right? I'm not working within a large group of people. But I was reflecting on, like, what I was feeling for our just personal relationship. Mm-hmm. And I told Zach this. I was like, my God, I was not anticipating how nice this felt for just our relationship.
Yeah.
Because since we started this podcast, I mean, we spend a lot of time sometimes more time with each other than I do with other friends, like talking for a couple of hours every week. But we're talking through a screen.
Here. Yeah.
Through a screen. And
is part of
Logan is eavesdropping and all of this.
Yeah.
And it was so nice to have that other side of it where we could have our sides and, like, have moments of privacy and share things that weren't necessarily just for the podcast, right? Yeah. And a reminder to me of, like, oh, this is why we're friends. We have that same reaction to that ridiculous thing that happened. And, like, oh, that is, like, I don't know. I found that really fun.
We got to experience things together, which we don't ever do. We talk to each other all the time, but we never are experiencing something together.
Yeah, which is you need that. You need that. So it makes me think of, like, oh, wow, for my relationships, other relationships from the past that I tried to, like, retain on the phone.
Yeah.
Sometimes the reason that it's hard is, right, you're not experiencing things together. You're just reflecting on them with each other.
Yeah. That's a very, very good point, because there's so many moments, and we were together for the majority of that weekend. There's so many moments
where I was tagging the fuck along. Thank you.
It's not like, it's not the most entertaining thing. It's just, like, the in-between things. So I think that's a really good point. And then, like, I think the relief felt after everything
when did you
was
feel?
Over.
When did you actually feel the relief?
when you were in bed in LA? No,
maybe
it was, like, midway through brunch. Like, the main show Saturday night was, you know, because, again, oftentimes I'm acting as, like, the EP. So, like, I'm very concerned about what the feed is, what people are experiencing online, what sounds good here. Did the light catch in the right way as we rehearsed? Like, all of those little things, which didn't all go perfectly. Mm-hmm. And then beyond that, you know, what is my performance like? How am I engaging? And then so I think huge sense of relief after that show, because there were a lot of things that we've never done before that we did live, and hugely impressed with the team that put together that show. I mean, when we were rehearsing the dress rehearsal, it was the first time where I had seen some of the set pieces, and Mike Paisley, who you know, really led creatively under me for Mythicon, also was just so hands-on with all those details. Mm. And the last time I had seen just even the main set was sketched out onto a PowerPoint presentation. And so, like, that's anything we do, like, that's how we start. Yeah. Like, let's have a meeting discussing the general idea. I'm going to give notes on that idea, come back with a V2. I'm going to give notes again, come back. Okay, great. Mm-hmm. This sketch that literally is a digital, like, sketch of what yeah. we're agreeing on. Yes, that's perfect. And then I showed up at the venue, and then it was like just there, and I was like, oh my god, it looks so good. But I hadn't seen beyond the discussion. I hadn't seen the time gate or Charles's alien costume.
Oh, the alien costume was
and
so good.
I was blown away. And Paisley made both of those things with his own hands, without any help.
That
he made
so
those two things.
Cool.
And it was just, yeah, it was so freaking mm-hmm. cool. It was so cool. But, like, yeah, just the we're going to have a conversation, I'm going to see it on paper, then it's going to be there in real life experience is really interesting. But anyway, yeah, the sense of relief was mostly, like, it was just the production stuff. And then a little bit at the front of brunch, making sure that, okay, did everyone get food? Is everyone feeling good? But it was just such a beautiful day on Sunday, and the venue was so gorgeous. And
it was right by the river.
Yeah.
It was...
Yeah. And then
it was just good vibes everywhere.
Just getting to talk to everyone at that brunch was so, so nice. And so I think I felt a sense of relief after that main show was finished. Yeah.
There was there were a few people throughout the weekend who came up to me and, you know, said something about our show. And it was all very meaningful. But the thing that threw me off was I was walking in the brunch area, and one girl stopped me. She was like, "How's Kishmish?" I was like, "What? How do you know my dog?" And then I was like, "Of course you would know.
Yeah.
I'm talking about him all the time."
Is that what you said? How do you know my dog?
How do you know my dog, woman?
That's so nice.
That was maybe the most meaningful question I got all weekend was, "How's Kishmish?"
You know what's funny is that this happens to me all the time. I mean, people know that we shoot GMM. We don't shoot GMM the day before it launches. But I will get tweets and some comments at Mythicon that are very specific to things that I have said on the show, on some show at some point. And I'm like, I wish I remembered what you're referencing. But I have no idea.
Like Mamma Mia.
Oh, yeah.
Guys, Logan and I pranked.
It doesn't make any sense that you did
that. It doesn't make much sense, but we were feeling very playful, right? So Logan and I were feeling very, very playful. Stevie had a very long meet and greet. People were, like, lined up around the block to meet her. And so we went to go check in on her as if she needed help. But we went to go watch her.
I did
not
really
check
need
in
more.
On her. She needed.
I was like, Logan!
Logan, what?
I don't trust anyone else to get water.
There was a point where we opened the water that we gave you, and we're like, make sure she knows you opened it.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't just an open water.
Yeah. I'm just on the floor at the meet and greet at the end.
Oh, my God.
Like, that's weird.
It's weird.
Everyone here is really nice, but somehow. Yeah, y'all pranked me to you asked some mythical beast to come up and say, Mama. Yeah, and I was like, I don't know if that's something that this person uses as a greeting, and so I will not question it. And then they were like,
"She was amazing, though, for her 45 seconds mm-hmm. that she had with you."
Yeah,
she chose. She
did she choose, or was she forced into doing it?
I asked her. I was like, "Would you?"
Okay,
she could have said. She didn't know who I was. She could have been like, no. And she very enthusiastically.
Yeah, she wasn't even a BFBA listener. So she didn't know who you were or what the reference to Mamma Mia was, which was from one episode.
Maybe two, Logan, right? I feel like it was in one or two.
It was in one, unfortunately.
Okay, whatever. Unfortunately. All right, well, we're bringing Mamma Mia back.
Yes.
But Stevie reacted with a very enthusiastic, ha-ha. And body convulsion
Thank you.
Laugh.
Thank you.
And then afterwards, she was like, wait, that was a prank? I didn't even pick up on that.
Yeah, like, that's how you know just... it's a good prank. Oh, but the other take, and well, I mean, listen, we don't need to talk for days about, I mean, we could talk for days about Mythicon, but the other fun thing about our recording of BFBA, I mean, it was your idea. You and Logan came up with the throwing out tampons and pads into the audience because I didn't know, like, what that was in relation to.
Our show. Just our show.
But I was, later that day, I was walking onto the field to go, you know, approve some stuff for the main show setup. And people were in line already to try and get down to the main show. And a mythical beast was like, Stevie, will you sign my tampon?
No.
And I was like, yes. And so I like went up and signed the tampon. And I was like, I love this. And then at the brunch.
Yeah.
A bunch of people had tampons and pads. Oh, you didn't know this? Yes. No. I signed, I'm going to say like a dozen tampons.
Hell,
I signed a few pads. And one pad,
easier to
it
sign
was
a pad,
little,
huh?
it was an interesting, well, one pad was opened and then I signed the open pad part.
BB. Yeah.
And I think that this person's partner was just making a joke, and I'm sure they're listening right now, very funny joke that they were like, oh, she's totally going to wear this. And I was like, I don't even know how to feel about that. I don't even know how to
process that.
Logan,
did you pick up Maxi's? Or what was the hold? What volume could those pads hold?
I have no clue.
I feel like they were kind of like the normal ones.
Yeah,
not too.
They were
thin.
Pretty thin.
You know what? If there's any takeaway from this whole thing, is that people should throw out more sanitary napkins. Okay.
Oh,
yeah.
Right? With the pink tax and everything.
With the pink tax.
About a t-shirt.
Listen, I did not expect the reaction that we got.
Oh,
from when you said you were going to throw out that was pads and tampons. Like there
I was.
I don't know
inspired.
If it's going to translate audio wise, but there was excitement in the crowd.
Yeah. And there could not only be tampons, because as we've talked about on this podcast, not everybody wants to stick it up there.
Yeah,
right?
Yeah. Sure.
You got to have flexibility. You know, next time, maybe we can throw out some cups.
Oh, no.
That's something that I haven't considered.
That's
whatever. They don't sell those at CVS.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's a premium throwaway. All right, y'all, that's it for this week.
You can catch brand new episodes every Friday. Make sure to follow so you don't miss an episode. If you're enjoying the podcast, leave us a review. You can follow @MythicalPods on TikTok for clips to share with family and friends. And you can follow me everywhere @Negin and Stevie everywhere @StevieWLevine.
And of course, you can hear me every Monday through Friday on Good Mythical Morning with Rhett and Link at youtube.com/Good Mythical Morning. I'll see you there.